His is the kingdom
and the power
and the glory
forever.
Amen. Let's remain standing and take our Bible and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 8, please. We'll begin our reading in verse number 10. Ecclesiastes is right behind Proverbs in the Old Testament, written by Solomon, by the inspiration of God. Amen? You ever catch yourself studying and you come across a verse, or you're working up a sermon? Of course, you're not a preacher, you wouldn't do this. But every so often, I catch myself, after I write something down, saying, "Howard, what do you think of that?" I feel he's looking over my shoulder. Amen? I've thought a lot about him so much this week. And then I begin to see in advertisements of camp meetings, jubilees, the Smoky Mountain Jubilee, which will take place this coming February, is a jubilee that I helped get started. And good speakers, Dr. Ralph Sexton, T.D. Burgess was the one that started that. T.D. can't preach now. I get homesick for the old time, the old-fashioned preaching. I miss the old time sword of the Lord. Swords of the Lord aren't nothing near what they used to be. I miss the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. Howard's the one got me started going to it. Good old-fashioned preaching. And I got an article from First Baptist Church in Hammond this week, and I see my buddy Tom Williams is going to be there. Did you see that, Braden? My, that guy can preach on prayer till you never heard anything like it in your life. And I miss those days. I miss the old-time fashion ways. Solomon is writing about the old ways. He's telling us his old ways that he went through were not very good. I want you to listen very closely tonight, because we're going to talk about fair-weathered friends. And you probably have some of these people in your life. I'm not preaching this directly to anybody. These lessons all go in a row, I don't want you to think I'm preaching directly to anybody, although it should help us. Verse number 10, Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. "And so I saw the wicked man buried, whom had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do well 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him." Father, we thank you now for your word that you have preserved here for us in the year 2023. We thank you, Father. This is the very word that you spoke. This is the very word that the Holy Spirit inspired some 40 men to write. And you knew where we would be today. And so your word is alive as alive can be. It's like reading the front page of a newspaper. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the men that obeyed the Holy Spirit in writing exactly what you wanted written down. Thank you for allowing Solomon to write to us about his days of backsliding, and then when he came to his senses, rededicating his life to you, you allowed him to write about those evil days. Help us tonight as we see here in your word something that you have for us. Lead us and guide us and direct us as you would see for us to go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Solomon made a disheartening discovery now. During the many years of backsliding, especially relating to his friends. They are friends who are nothing of a kind, but only want to use and abuse us. Have you ever seen them? There are friends who are nothing of a kind, but only to want to use and abuse you. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. I know you've been there. I know you've seen someone like that. And then there are true blue friends who will stick with you no matter what. They may not condone what you've done, but they'll stick with you. When a person is trying to do right, then listen, God, I believe, puts people in his life that will help him or her in their Christian walk. By the same token, when a person is doing wrong, then he will become a magnet to people who are just like he is, backslidden and even possibly lost. When Solomon was at his worst, he eventually discovered that it was his friends, the wrong kind of friends, by the way, who were helping him to remain backslidden and were actually his worst enemy. Do you know there's people in your family would love for you to backslide and keep you in a backslidden position? You say, not my family. Maybe not your family, but there's a lot of families like that. Amen. Did you ever have a family member that tried to pull you away from a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night service? See, they know you're supposed to be here, but they want you to be with them. Solomon had that kind of friend. And as he was in this backslidden condition, these friends would come to and fro. They'd go to the temple with him. He actually came to the point that he thought they was really true friends. And guess what? They were using him. Amen. I tell these two preacher boys down here, be careful who you become friends with. Amen. I said, don't you get too close. Don't you get too close to people. Because those people can stab you in the back and twist the knife. And I've seen it happen over and over and over and over again. And get hurt, and leave the church, never to darken the church door again. Because the friend they thought was true blue, that friend was trying to use you. You ever have a friend try to use you? Huh? Sure you have. Friends are something. I took I don't know how many hour class on how to spot people who want to be your friend. There's all types of ways you can spot people. Solomon said, so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. The first characteristic about these people who had negatively influenced Solomon to do wrong was that they were later seen by Solomon as those who had come and gone. You see that? From the temple. Amen? Why? Why would I want someone who's come and gone and misses church all the time to instruct me? Huh? I mean, when I was dying and my wife said she was going to go call Harold Harper, Gary Montgomery, and Ted DeBrule. That's only three friends. That's only three people. And, of course, I told her, I said, you wait before you call. Let me do my own praying right now. But those are three people that was true blue. Now, I have a lot of friends who are preachers. But I just may happen to know some things about those preachers that I don't trust. So, why would I want someone who's in and out, up and down, over and under, praying for me? You can say amen. Amen. I mean, I want someone who's true blue. Solomon thought a lot of the people who was his friends was that kind of friend. But when he got right with God, he found out different. He found out different. You know what happened? When he got right with God, that wisdom that God gave him all of a sudden become reality in the spiritual realm. And he began to see things in God's view. Before he had wisdom, but it wasn't in God's view. Now he's got this wisdom he asked God for. He could ask God for about anything to give it to him, but got him wisdom. And all of a sudden now, it's clicking in. Man, I thought so-and-so was my friend. I thought so-and-so was my friend. Now, you've got to be very careful who your friends are. Now, we're in a church and we call ourselves a family. But you got to be careful in your family who you run with. Say amen right there. Amen. They had been those who had, in Solomon's life, who had outwardly shown of religion. I mean, they was holy, holy, and they had done their duty in offering sacrifices. They went through that. They was kind of like a Pharisees and Sadducees. I mean, they had a religious form. Amen. They observed the Sabbath, but their hearts were as hard stones, and their spiritual condition was only worse. And Solomon couldn't recognize this because he was in a backslidden position. And the problem with this kind of friend was that they were what we call hypocrites. They had no interest in God, but were only concerned about blending in with everybody else. I'm not looking for people that wants to blend in with everybody else. I'm looking for people, and God's looking for people who want to win people to Jesus Christ. Jesus, God sent Jesus into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And all through the Bible, even over in the Old Testament, we have verses that tell us that you and I ought to be speaking up for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and telling people, especially in the last days, about Jesus Christ and about the second coming. And we don't do that. We're more concerned about the program. Hello. We're more concerned about the program than we are the person getting saved. We get all concerned when people get sick, don't we? Hello? Oh, man, we cry. Oh, God, please touch and heal. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Not a thing in the world wrong with that, but that very person we're praying for God to touch and heal, not one time have we ever prayed for God to save them. Their soul will live forever, but the body that you prayed that God will heal is going to decay back into the dust one day. So I ask you, what's more important, the soul? I think it is. And I think we ought to be praying for people. I think we ought to be praying for God to use us to win people to Him and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once you get in your right mind, once you get where God wants you, we begin to see this. Now Solomon is seeing this. And so this is how Solomon began his lengthy time of backsliding. He was allowing these people to keep him away. And he kept he kept up appearances of being with God also, and he was far away from God. He was just like them. And it was because of the help of his friends. Number two, they think God's silent in consent. Now, preacher, I hear this all the time. I know so-and-so, and they're filthy. And it just seems like they got this, and they got this, and they have nice homes, they have nice automobiles, good jobs. I mean, and it doesn't seem like it bothers God at all. Let me ask you a question. If you could look into their heart, you'd see something different. They don't have no peace. They're being held hostage, as I said this morning. And they're dependent on earthly things. Earthly things disappear, but the soul never disappears. Earthly things. And because of that, some people who aren't strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, let that affect them. And so they try to put their self in that very position. And they turn their back on God. You see, they're wanting things more than they are anything else. You should want a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else. The more you do wrong, and the more your friends want you to do wrong, the more you're going to do wrong. So another characteristic of the wrong kind of friend is they have a warped view of reality. They do wrong, and they're not judged immediately or harshly. Listen, now listen to me. Everybody listening? You may be sitting here tonight and you know within your heart you did wrong. Over and over and over and over again. And the reason you keep doing it over and over and over again is because you don't see God doing anything to you. Know where I'm at, don't you? So, you come to the conclusion in your mind that you must be all right. And everybody else must be wrong. Simply because you don't see the chastening hand of God come down on these people. That was Solomon. He didn't see. He seen that the chastening hand of God didn't come down on these people. And so he come to the conclusion he was right. And we come to that conclusion we're right. And let me tell you something. Come here, Chris. Hurry. I ain't got all night. I only got 15 minutes, son. Come on. It would have been quicker if you'd have come this way and up. Go ahead and take the long way. And listen, we get in that position, and when it comes to the old-time gospel, hard-shell preaching, I'm in that condition, and I've been in that condition for months or weeks or years, and the gospel goes, It don't stick here. Why? I think I'm all right. Amen? And when the preacher, he preaches, and you ought to be right with God, and you ought not do this, and you know you're doing it, and you're practicing it, it's going over your head, it's not going in here, you think you're all right. Thank you, Chris. You're getting, that's hard. That's being frozen like ice. And we come to the conclusion, well, I'm all right to feel this way, but you're not all right to feel this way. You're being held hostage in your spiritual life, and you think you're all right. I want to tell you something, friend. If there's anyone here like that tonight, your prayers aren't going to be answered. You have blocked the relationship with God. That's what kept Solomon in a backslidden condition. These people who convinced him that they were right, they convinced herself that they were right. He convinced himself he was right, and everything was all right. Now, when we get in that position, listen, we come to the point, God hasn't ever done anything to me. Well, I know the Bible's talking about chastisement. I must be right because he ain't done a thing to me. I must be all right. I must be there. Hasn't done anything to me. And so we're questioned. What's this? We question now, because of that, we question whether God really even cares that I'm in that condition. There's people like it now. And there's people that sits in churches like it. Amen? Y'all getting quiet tonight. Something just popped into my mind. You know, I was preaching one night down at Howard's. I'll never forget it. I was getting on it. And I said, my grandma used to say, loose women and loose living will do you wrong and get you in a bad place. And some of them women opened their mouth, and I said, let me say that again. Y'all made a face. I said, loose women and loose living, my grandma said, and Howard's over here just laughing, sitting on that front row. Listen. We get in that position, and boy, it's hard to get out. It's hard to get out. I told a guy at the First Baptist Church one time, he was a good man, but he's in the position I'm just talking about. When I left that church, there's about 250 people there. When I went there, there's about 23 people. I wasn't the pastor. And I said, Stanley, I think I was there 5 years before I left, took a church. I said, Stanley, did you ever think that you might be the one that's wrong? I said, Stanley, look around at all these people. Do you think all these people are wrong and you're right? As far as I know, Stanley never changed. Solomon, thank God, changed. And now he's writing to us about it. So the question is whether God even cares, we think, about what we do, how we act. Oh, and by the way, he does care. If they live and do as they please, and God is doing nothing about it, then he must not have much of a problem with that. And that's actually how they felt. And there's people in our churches feel that way. They do all sorts of things that they did before they got saved. And I tell you, God hates jealousy. God hates jealousy. God hates jealousy. Well, I'm jealous and he ain't never done anything to me. You mark it down, your day is coming. I'll guarantee you that. The most immediate result of this kind of friend is a seared conscience. We get in a position where our conscience is seared. And that kind of friend will help us to bury any and all guilt. And the reason he is so ineffective is he appears to be getting by with it. And I actually know people like that. They're doing wrong. But I have a Bible verse that says, be careful. Your sin will find you out. Amen? You may think you're getting by. But sooner or later, your sin will find you out. And I feel sorry for people like that. And I feel sorry for people who have friends like it. You be very careful what kind of friend you have. You don't want this kind of a friend that's bad like Solomon had. Let's go to number three. They are rotten to the core. Look at verse number 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not exceeded speedily, therefore the hurt of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, God's taking his time. Execution is not coming fast. And Solomon had no idea what these people were like until it was too late. And all the damage was done. They looked just as spiritual as everyone else. When you get my age and you've been saved 50 years and you pastor churches, you get around a lot of people. And being in the automobile business all those years, you're around a lot of people. And it's amazing how people want to impress you. You folks, don't ever try to impress me because I could care less. But they want to impress me. And they'll tell me this. And they'll tell me how spiritual they are. Amen this and praise God this. And they don't miss church and everything. Oh, yeah. Come over here. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, they're telling dirty joke over here. Wait a minute. I'm holy. What? You see, when you laugh, you partook in it. Over here, you're trying to put on a show for me. I've had this to happen over and over again. Over and over again. How spiritual, how much, you know, boy, we do this in our church, and man, our church is this and that, and I walk into the restaurant, and there sits so-and-so and them drinking drinks. I don't know a whole lot about these fancy drinks that they have today. Me and my granddaughter and my wife was eating supper at the New Mexican restaurant in Somerville, not La Carita. There's a new one over now, Pat, or Jess. You been there? It's pretty good. You been there? Yeah, I'll take you. You been there? Okay, good, ain't it? Anyway, now listen to this. We're sitting, and my back is here. And Agnes and Holly Joe are over here. And over here are some people. I don't know those people. But Holly Joe and my wife know them. And we're sitting there. And all of a sudden, I thought Holly's taking pictures of me. I'm getting ready to smile. But she wasn't. I said, "What are you doing, Holly?" And she said, "I just took a picture of Miss So-and-so. She's Sunday school teacher down at First Baptist Church." I said, "Oh." She said, "Papa, she's drinking a mixed drink. And she teaches kids in Sunday school. Now, you teachers, listen to me. If that ever happens here with one of our teachers, you're finished right now. You'll never teach another time in this church." Holly knew her. And sure enough, you know me. I got up and walked over, and I introduced myself. I said, "My wife and Holly, they know you. I'm Agnes's husband. Oh, enjoy your drink." Now watch this. I found out that that woman taught Sunday school that next Sunday in that church. Y'all listening? And I'll guarantee you, that woman right now thinks she's okay. Hmm? I first came here. The lady used to sit right here, invited me out for dinner after church. She was the one who complained about 1 o'clock preaching. Anyway, we went to the Mexican restaurant in Saberton. If you go buy them a meal, I'll go about anywhere, you know. And I ordered water, and I forget what she ordered, and he ordered a drink. And I said, hold it just a minute. Now, I'm the man of God, and I refuse. I appreciate y'all inviting me out, I really do. And I'm not mad, but I refuse to sit here with you taking a liquor drink and people walking in and out seeing me sitting here. I said, now I'll get up and go over here. Well, he didn't get the drink. That's just me. I'm not going to stand up here and preach what the Bible says that liquor is wrong and then sit and watch someone indulge in it right in my party that I'm eating with. I ain't going to do that. Now, you said I wouldn't do that. I know you wouldn't, but I did. I'm going to tell you something. Our churches are full of people like it. No wonder we're seeing the decline in churches today. What'd you tell me, Braden, this week? 5,000 quit last year, preachers? 5,000 preachers left the churches, quit the ministry last year. If a preacher takes a church nowadays and he's there 5 years, he's worked a miracle. I've been here 20. When I came to this church, I came for one purpose, and that was to see people saved and to build a church. And you can never, I don't care who you are, I don't care what kind of preacher you are, you can never build a church in 5 years or even 10 years or even 15 years. It takes hard work. And it takes time. Why? These preachers, they want to spend time on the golf course. Amen. They want to spend time on the computer. That's why a lot of them are divorced now. When I say computer, I'm talking about on the computer in the wrong places. Amen. Man, I didn't come here to play around, fool around. I come here to build a church. And I'm not just talking about a building. I'm talking about with people. You know why? Because that's why God come. That's why God sent his son Jesus Christ, was to save people. That's why he saved me and gave me a commandment to go save people. That's why he saved you and gave you a commandment to go save people, show people how to be saved. Well, Solomon finally woke up, and it's my time to go. I got to quit. I might pick up here next week. I'm not sure. Be careful about your friends. People call you friend. Be careful. I tell people a lot of things about people who call themselves friends. And I don't need a friend that wants to use me or wants to be my friend to get things from me. Amen. I don't need a friend that wants to get close to me and then down the road turn his back on me or her back on me. I don't need that. And so I've spent many hours learning how. Now, you may do me wrong, and I may catch you up in it, and I'll forgive you myself. I'm talking about myself now. I'll forgive you. And I want you to know something. I'll never take my eyes off of you again. I'll forgive you, but I'll never take my eyes off of you again. Because most time, if you do it one time, you do it a second time in the right setting. Let's stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.